The universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. As a person who is blind, I don't walk barefoot. I have learned over the years never, ever to walk barefoot. And the moment I do, thinking, oh, it'll be okay this time, what happens? Bang! I stub my toe. And the worst one is when I stub my little baby toe. Oh, it's just so painful. And oh, just double up. If I wear shoes, it's not so bad. And if you're blind out there and you want to take a bit of advice from me, always wear shoes. Even in summer, if it's hot and I don't want to wear shoes, I'll at least put on sandals, something that it'll protect my toes a little bit. Because, man, if you've ever stubbed your toe, the pain, the agony, the misery you go through, oh, you just don't want to deal with it. You know, it's the same thing as if you get a stone in your shoe and you walk and you just can't, finally it's just digging your toe, you just can't handle it. You know, because feet are funny things. We use them all the time. We don't think anything about them until... Actually, I know one guy who's blind. I was chatting with him on his bed frame. He actually went and got some styrofoam. The swimming pool, what are they called? Noodles? They're foam, and they have about an inch diameter hole in the inside, and you can use them to float in a swimming pool. Well, he slid it down the side and put it around the posts of his bed so that when he gets up at night, he won't stub his toe. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Feet are amazing, as I was starting to say, until you have problems. And I guess that's why we have different stores for different types of shoes, where you can go in and actually get a specialized shoe made so your feet can fit. Because if your shoes don't fit your feet, it's a problem. Well, you know, I got thinking about this. Well, I've known this for years, but I came across a Bible verse that fits this extremely, extremely well. It's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. In his footsteps. Now, some translations just say steps. But the idea, if you got a step, you've obviously got a foot. Well, first thought is where did Jesus walk? And where does his feet travel? Well, he walked on the dusty, dirty trail of life, where you can get really off the trail and full of muck and mud and sink in the mire. But he did not. His feet kept him safe and secure on the path of righteousness, you would say. And he never sinned at all. His feet also traveled him into, well, actually, danger near the end of his life. The last week of his life, there's a couple of stories about his feet. The night before he was betrayed, he washed his disciples' feet. Now, that was usually only left for the lowest of servants, because when you walk in Israel, which is a dusty, dirty country, with sandals only, your feet get that way. And servants had to, therefore, wash feet. He did that for his disciples. Wow. But then he also then carried a cross out of Jerusalem, and his feet carried him and the cross until he stumbled and fell under the weight of it. And then his feet were nailed to that cross. Though his feet had never walked a bad place or did anything wrong, his feet were treated like that of a criminal, nailed to a cross, and he died. But his feet then left the tomb. We talk about that. His feet walked places our feet never could, like to death and back. That's why we talk about trusting Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little off track. Let me come back. The Bible verse I mentioned said that Christ left an example that you follow in his footsteps. Well, where do his footsteps go? Actually, the next verses actually talk about it. Let me read them for you. It says in verse 22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting him who judges justly. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, I know all of us have had rough treatment, harsh treatment, especially if you're blind or vision impaired, have a disability. You feel like the world has kicked you, and many times it has pushed you aside and ignored you, and we've not been treated fairly. It goes without saying. I bet there's many people who have perfect sight would say the same thing. Well, first, Jesus suffered the same thing. And he noted, to this we've been called. Because he suffered, leaving us an example, we too will follow in those steps. So we're going to suffer. You know, really, it's too bad he didn't call us out of this world, but instead he didn't. He left us in this world that has injustice. But Peter takes it one step further in how even bad things can become good. And he actually says this just before the verse 21. I'm sorry if I'm confusing you, but hear the words of Peter here in verses 19 and following. Peter wrote, "This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows and suffering unjustly. What credit is this? If when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure. But if you do good and suffer for it, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." You see, grace is not only for you and me, God's gift to forgive us, to help us, to walk with us, but then he takes even those painful things, the spiritual walking in the world and stubbing our foot, the pain that comes from where we walk and live. You know, when you talk about life and living, the Bible does talk about it like walking in his ways. And so sometimes we do get stubbed toes spiritually. When we suffer, God promises to work good from it. His grace works through us. That's why he calls us to live like Jesus, who was reviled and didn't revile back, who when suffered, he trusted him who judges justly. That means trusted God. When we do that, God is at work. Yeah. So Jesus is not just an example of how we live, but he is also the one who we can look to for forgiveness, but he is the one we look to for strength, and he is the one we look to for the very motivation. Because our motivation changes. When we know Jesus, our motivation changes. Because now we do things to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you understand. And thank you that you're going to work, because of your grace, good from these things." And that's why Peter said, "To this you've been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example, that you follow in his footsteps." I won't walk barefoot around in my house. And the very reason is because I don't want to hurt my feet. Even so, spiritually, I can't always stop my feet from getting bruised and banged. But I do know that Jesus will work good from it when it does happen. And I look to him for the strength and the help to do it. And I hope you do too. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus, for shoes, for feet that can move us from here to there. Thank you that as we live and navigate in this world, as we walk in a lifestyle that is trusting you, that you are walking with us. Please, oh please, Lord, when we get injured or hurt spiritually, that you'll work good out of it. And when physical things happen, work good from it too. That when people see our smile and our contentment, knowing you are in our lives, they might ask, "Why?" And then we can tell them, Lord, it's because you love us. Lord, thank you that you gave us the example to live. but do give us the strength, the motivation, and the power to live this way as well. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please write me. You can do so at dave.andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S, at not-alone.net. Love to hear stories how God has worked good even when you've stubbed your toes from life's experiences. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.andrus at not-alone.net.